Good morning, everyone. Join us next week when we'll be honoring moms for Mother's Day. So please join us as we take time, set aside time to honor moms. How's everyone doing this morning? Good, that's good. We seem to be a little bit of a later crowd today. I was toying on asking you all to move up, and maybe you guys are too comfortable where you are, but we'll see about that. I might want to stir us up sometime. But anyway, look upon those who aren't here this week. Make sure you contact them, make sure they're okay. If there's anything they need, you know, sometimes people just need a little encouragement or a ride, or maybe they were just caught up with things this week, and just let them know we're missing them and praying for them. Father, bless your word to our hearts. Give us ears to hear and hearts to receive. And as we sit at your table, Lord, let us be prepared to come together in communion with you in a special way. So, Lord, your word, I pray, will transform our hearts and minds, and that, Lord, we would be able to understand even more the great sacrifice you've paid and the desire in your heart for us. In Jesus' name, amen. So last week we were in Psalm 27. We talked a little bit about one of those. It wasn't the focus of the message, but David had a great desire in that psalm, right? One thing I have desired, right? You remember that? One thing I have desired. He wanted to be with the Lord. He wanted to be in his tabernacle, to be in his presence, you know? And desires are very strong things. We have them. We all have desires. Some of them are good desires and some not so good desires, but we have desires. It's a very strong thing within us. A desire is not just like a passing fancy or passing thing. A desire is something that's really something we long for, something that's really deep within us, something that, you know, we just can't shake until that desire is fulfilled. And if it's not fulfilled, it causes all kinds of angst and problems, you know. And we think often about our own desires, obviously. We do. We think about our desires, and we many times act on our desires, sometimes even the ones we should not act upon. But I don't know if you ever gave much thought to God's desires or Jesus' desires. You know, when I was looking at some of the words for desire in the Bible, there's I forgot the number of how many times desire appears in the scriptures. But as I was reading through them, kind of quickly, kind of looking at them, there's probably, I don't know, I'm going to say the majority. I didn't do a count. This wasn't something exhaustive. I didn't really study it. But I would say the majority of the times desire appears, it has to do with human desire. Not exclusively, but most times in the Bible, it's human desire. What's in the heart of man? What's in our heart? What drives us? But there are a few places where it talks about God's desire, and we get to see his heart. Luke chapter 22 has something in that I know the Lord wants us to hear this morning to help us understand this desire of God's heart. This is a time, as many of you know, very familiar. We just came through this season. You know, the Last Supper, he was going to the cross, he'd be crucified. Chapter 22 just begins, and we'll read this more just for context right now. The Feast of Unleavened Bread drew near, which is called Passover, and the chief priests and the scribes sought how they might kill him, Jesus. You know, they had already decided years before that he had to go, but they were looking for the most opportune way to do it because they feared the people. Jesus was very popular amongst the people. You know, sometimes we don't realize, you know, Jesus was very popular, and they feared the people. They didn't fear God. They didn't fear about the fact they were going to kill God or try to kill God the Messiah, but they feared the people. But then Satan entered Judas, surnamed Iscariot, who was numbered among the 12, so he went his way and conferred with the chief priests and captains how he might betray him to them. And they were glad, this is our opportunity now, and agreed to give him money, so he promised and sought opportunity to betray him to them in the absence of the multitude. So, you know, how can we do this so we don't get, start a riot, you know? Then came the day of unleavened bread, when the Passover lamb must be killed. So he sent Peter and John, saying, "Go and prepare the Passover for us, that we may eat." So they said to him, "Where do you want us to prepare?" And he said to them, "Behold, when you have entered the city, a man will meet you carrying a pitcher of water. Follow him to the house which he enters. Then you shall say to the master of the house, 'The teacher says to you, where is the guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' Then he will show you to a large furnished upper room. There make ready." So they went and found it, just as he said to them, and they prepared the Passover. When the hour had come, he sat down and the 12 apostles with him, and then he said to them, with fervent desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. A fervent desire. A desire is a longing, something that's there with us, something that we really need to do. And he says, with this fervency, even more, a great desire, a great fervent desire. Now, it's interesting, when you look up the original word for desire in the Greek language, it's a desire that could actually, the same word can be used for desires that are good or desires for things that are not good. You know, it's the same word. It's that strong thing within us. Now, when Jesus' desire, his desires obviously are always good. He's sinless God, and his desires are good. But that word desire is the same desire that we can even have for something that is not right, that isn't sinful, that is something that's bad. But this desire, that same word, he has in the good sense, the best sense, a desire to sit down with them. And when we look at that at first blush, you may say to yourself, well, Jesus knows what's coming up, and he wants to spend a little bit of time with these guys before he goes and give them some words. But it's much deeper than that. It's much deeper than Jesus just wanting to break bread. It's just much deeper than him wanting to give them a few words before he goes to the cross. This fervent desire was not just, I want to say goodbye, I just want to give you some words. It's a desire to now institute and begin the main reason, the thing that he came to do, which was to give himself as a sacrifice, to give man an opportunity to be redeemed to God, to bring the new covenant. This was not the beginning of the end, it was the beginning of the beginning. It was the beginning, it was a new thing that was being instituted here. And he says, with such great desire, I've desired to have this time with you. And then he goes on to say and gives us a little bit more of his heart here. Because it's not just a desire for this one meal. He says, I want to eat with great, I fervent desire, I've desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, I will no longer eat of it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. Until it is fulfilled. I'm going to do this now. I want to have this meal with you now, but I'm looking forward to something even greater. I'm looking forward to something that is the essence of the desire that is in my heart to have this intimate meal with you guys. But there's a desire in my heart to have this meal down the road, in the future, with all of my children. With all of my children. He takes a cup. He gave thanks. He says, take and divide this among yourselves, for I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. Do you see that? Do you see the heart? Do you see the desire of Jesus? Do you see what he wants? You know, you might get thrown off a little bit about the fact that he's taking a cup now, because you're going to read later in that chapter, he's going to take the cup that we know is the cup that he has, that we call, you know, the communion cup, or the cup of the Lord's Supper. But it was not unusual, because in the Passover, the way that the Passover was conducted, there were typically four cups of wine that they would have during that. The first one was the cup of sanctification, was the idea of bringing you out of Egypt and taking you away from the burdens. But the second cup that he's having here, this is not the communion cup, it's the one prior to that, it's a cup of deliverance. The cup of deliverance, which Jesus was saying, you know what, with great desire, I want to have this meal with you. Because I know the burdens that you are under. And he knew and understood the burden that he would go through, what he would do for them to bring them to the place of deliverance, to set them free, to bring them to a place where they can become the children of God, become his. He says, I want you to take this cup. I want you to divide it among yourself, because, you know, there's a time coming that I will no longer have the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. See, Jesus' great desire is for us. His desire was that we would be restored into fellowship with him, because that fellowship was broken because God, in his desire for us, created us. You know, we were not just like a lab experiment. You know, we weren't. You know, we know we weren't evolved, and maybe, you know, some people still like to think of evolution and stuff, and, you know, but the Bible is very clear. And, you know, we were created by a God. And we were created in his image and in his likeness. And not as pets. Not as pets. Sometimes they think, oh, God just wanted to have some pets that he could play with. And entertain him. No. We were created in his image and in his likeness with an eternal soul. See, because if we were just pets, he would just create us, give us life and say, okay, when they pass away, they're gone. He said, no, I breathe in them a living soul, because God's desire has been to have fellowship with us, to be with us. He longs for that. He desires that. Our desire is the heart of man is to, you know, God, no, leave me alone. I'll go my way. Thank you for life, and thank you for, you know, when you feed me and clothe me and do all this stuff, and when you answer my prayers. But, you know, the rest of it, no. No, I'll take it from here, God. And Jesus, in his desire, says, no, even in your rebellion and your sin against me, I have a great desire to be with you forever, forever. His desire is for us not to just visit us once in a while, not to just look in on us and say, how are they doing? But to spend eternity with us in intimate fellowship. See, I don't know if that's something you think about that often. Because we're always looking at our relationship with God. Again, our human flesh is what we desire to get out of the deal. But have you ever thought what his motivation, if you will, is? What his desire is? And if you ever want to know, or you're not sure about God's desire, look in the mirror. Because his desire is you. You know, Hebrews chapter 10 says, looking unto Jesus. It's always a good idea to look to Jesus. It says, looking unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. I probably forgot to give Colin this one. He's looking back there. Where, you threw one in there, a good curveball. He's like, where is it? But you know this verse. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and he has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Do you see the heart of Jesus there? We can look to Jesus in the midst of whatever else we are looking at, our own situation, our own desires. Look to Jesus, because his desire, the one who created us, the one who gave us life, the one who died to give us eternal life, the author and the finisher of our faith, says that it was with joy that was set before him he endured the cross. Not that he was a masochist, not that he enjoyed the pain of the cross, the physical pain, not that he enjoyed becoming sin, taking sin upon himself, not that he enjoyed the wrath of God, the judgment being poured out upon him to cry out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Not that joy. The joy was us. He saw the other side of it. He looked at it and he said, it gives me joy. Because my desire is being fulfilled. I will go through the shame of being beaten and lied upon. I will go through the shame of being stripped naked and my beard plucked out. I will go through the shame of having them say all these things about me. I will go through that shame for the desire of my heart, which is my children, my creation, to come back to me, the author and the finisher. So he kept his tongue. He kept the course. He kept on the program. And he kept his joy to fulfill the desire of his heart, which is his love for us. See, sometimes we have to do what the next verse says in Hebrews. It says, consider him who endured such hostility for sin from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. In other words, when we think about how bad it is, we got it. Let's look back and say, Jesus, you did all that for me. The desire of your heart is me. So let not your heart be troubled, John 14. Believe in God. Believe also in me. Jesus said to them, in my Father's house, there are what? Many mansions. He said, if it were not so, I would have told you. In other words, if there wasn't anything after this, I would have told you. He says, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. His desire. I have great desire to sit with you at this table to institute the beginnings of what will become my and your eternal relationship and fellowship together in my kingdom. In my Father's house, there's room for everybody who wants to come. I made a way for you. And if you don't know the way, that's okay. I'll take you to myself. Isn't it wonderful to know? See, because we're going to get ready to really sit and meditate on this as we're going to take to the Lord's Supper in just a moment here. But isn't it good to know? See, sometimes, I know how we think sometimes. Sometimes we think even when people are being hospitable or even cordial to us, you know, whether it's just for a conversation or maybe they invite us over or maybe through a situation we had to stay the night or something like this, we say to ourselves, you know, I don't want to be a burden because that's very nice of them. But, you know, I mean, maybe they're just being kind or maybe they're just doing their duty or whatever it happens to be. Isn't it nice to know that we're not a burden to God? Isn't it nice to know that he's not saying, all right, you know, I went through all of this. I got to take you to be with me. You know, I'll take you. Come to my house. Spend eternity with me. You know, no. It's his desire. So much so that he said, I'm preparing this place for you. And guess what? You don't even know how to get there, but I'm making a way for you. And even if you're still not sure, I'm going to come and get you when it's all said and done and bring you to home with me. We're not a burden. We're not an inconvenience. We're not a problem. We are his desire. Blows my mind. Father, I desire, John 17. Listen to this. His prayer. Praying for all of us. Father, I desire that they also whom you gave me may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world. We're his desire. His desire. I hope that helps us to do more than take elements. I hope that helps us to see it from a little different perspective. That we are not a problem and a burden. That all these things that were done were done for us. Not of obligation. You know, not because he thought it's just the right thing to do, but because he desires us with great and fervent desire. Martin's going to play a little bit as we just settle our hearts for a moment before the Lord to think about what we just heard. And as our brothers will begin to distribute the elements, we'll take time to remember Jesus and look unto him, the lover of our souls, the author of it all, and the one who will bring it all to completion with joy in his heart.